Aronimink Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
Sit back on your heels, turn through the abdomen.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Nice.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Don't you think your negativity's a little premature?
And Brandon Sprague.
Please, just shut up!
What's with the hostility, man?
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here. Happy Friday to you. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1. Hey, FM The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app.
Right in the butt.
Live on YouTube. Calm down over there. How about shout out to our guy, Nick Krupke. Just the glow up on that guy. Man,
he's having a run here with the Rose City Sports Net.
Dude, he's Mr. Fire. That's what they call him on the streets nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm seeing him on Instagram. He's coaching softball. He's Dad of the Year.
Oh, he's great,
I mean,
Dad.
He's just, what a guy, that Nick
He's
Krupke,
coaching
man.
Softball, multiple kids. He's doing the Rose City Sports Net. He's dominating the dojo
he's
right
He's all
now.
Over, though. Going,
here we go, man. Here we go.
That's a Waymo guy, if I've ever seen a Waymo guy.
It's a Waymo guy.
Yeah.
As we were saying the entire last segment, nobody was saying Waymo. We were all saying Waymo.
I'll be honest with you. I don't really care.
I don't either. Screw it.
Waymo, Waymo. It's a robot, man.
Red jacket, green jacket. They're going to take over the world at some point anyways. great story from the brand man on a Waymo in Atlanta that he took, where at one point they were all trying to catch it after leaving the bar.
Sure.
And the Waymo kept driving away from them because it sensed that they were in front of the car, but in reality they were behind the car, so they chased it.
Yeah.
And then after that, he finally got into a Waymo by himself, and a drunk Indiana fan jumped on the hood and said, "Waymo, take me home."
And then it deactivates it. There's a body.
They're not driving anywhere, and so he's got to try and yell at the guy to get off the hood of the car. But if he gets out of the car, cancels the ride, so he's got to go find another ride. He's got to get it. Just yeah.
Well,
technology and stuff.
What I would
thing.
Say is, would you? When you feel a little more encouraged, I know Brandman wanted to get home, but I don't blame him for getting frustrated, because who wants a drunk idiot who's by himself, by the way, to have no bro get him off?
Yelling, Waymo, take me home!
Wouldn't you feel a little less encouraged about the Waymo if it just plowed on with the guy on the hood? It'd make me feel a little less safe in a weird way. I'd want guy off, but like...
Keep going, man. I don't care. Get out of here. What are you jumping on cars for?
Look,
you get what you deserve if you jump on the hood of a car while it's driving.
We can poo-poo the Waymo all we want. I'm definitely going to take a Waymo multiple
times. When's the last time you took an Uber?
I probably 2 months ago when I was at the dealership.
Yeah, dealership one. That's a good one when you drop the car off.
I'm just saying, I could see me getting in a Waymo if I'm down here. If I'm in downtown, instead of walking like 9 blocks and being lazy.
Yeah.
I can't get those scooters to ever work.
No, we should have done that last year at the Timber game when we went.
I was still.
We had to walk all the way back.
So mad. I'm so mad that those didn't work. But I could see myself hopping into Waymos, no problem.
Lots to get to in this hour of radio. The NBA playoffs return tonight. A night off last night for the association. Now we get a doubleheader. Do the series come to an end? Will we howl tonight on a Friday? So we'll get to that at some point here in the show. We still got some more out of the NFL that I want to get to. And that's where we'll start this hour. A couple of interesting nuggets. So do we want to start with the highlighted teams or the non-highlighted teams of the NFL schedule?
Well,
what's more interesting to you, the teams that don't show up or the teams that show up a ton?
The teams that don't show up. Like, my biggest takeaway, I'm always interested in this. I know why we have certain bad teams not highlighted. There is a weird little trend happening in the NFL, and so far we're 2 years in. Now, this could change.
Yes.
It could flex. But we might have back-to-back years. No number one overall pick at quarterback is on a primetime game.
Yes, because you could always get flexed in later in the year, potentially, if you end up surprising people.
You certainly could.
Like, that could change.
Yes.
There right now are 5 teams in the NFL with 0 primetime games.
And 2 of them should have primetime. One Ooh. Should be early. The other one should be a late season primetime ad.
Okay, so you asked me to guess this earlier in the show, and I think I got 2 or 3 of them, and then I couldn't guess all of them. The 5 teams without primetime games this year. The Miami Dolphins.
Deserved.
No beef with that, right?
None.
Does any Dolphin fans even want to see their team in primetime? Malik Willis? I'm all right. What's their coach? Halfley? Is that their guy?
Jeff Halfley.
From Green Bay?
They're Green Bay Packers South right now.
The New York Jets don't have any primetime games.
That has been more than deserved for a decade.
Get an interception and then we'll put you on primetime. How about that?
Yeah. Right?
The Arizona Cardinals don't have a primetime game.
Yeah.
No issue with
joke of your division.
No, nobody cares. I don't even like, yeah. Cardinal games, when they show up on the red zone, I get upset about.
Yeah, I think Carson Beck's going to be playing quarterback at some point this season.
He probably should. Yeah. Why would you not?
I know.
What else are you going to do?
Well, you got Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, because that's good for the future. And then you have the Tennessee Titans with last year's number one overall pick, a new head coach, and a new offensive coordinator.
I'm not a
primetime game.
I'm a little confused by that choice. And I get the Titans are not sexy. I've joked for years about how unexciting the Titans kind of tend to be in my mind when I see them on television.
They haven't been sexy since McNair and George, have they? That was probably the last time.
They didn't even get a Thursday night game. You couldn't slide them in a Thursday night game?
Let's not poo-poo the run that Tannehill and Henry had.
I'm not saying, I mean, they were good. It's not saying they weren't good. There was nothing sexy about them.
Derrick Henry is sexy to me.
Ryan Tannehill going 9 of 17 for 112 yards and a pick.
I think his numbers were a little better than
and winning
that.
A game. Look at the guy who wins.
But to your point, like, exciting McNair and George,
like,
for
that
sure.
Was an exciting team, yeah.
You have a defensive-minded coach, and say what you want about his tenure with the Jets. His defense wasn't the issue. His quarterback popped his Achilles like 10 seconds into the season.
Yeah, Daboll's a good offensive mind now there at the OC.
Yeah,
like,
so
that's a good combination.
I want to see what Cam Ward with Daboll is going to be. I don't think they'll be amazing, but I can't believe they're not going to get another primetime game this year.
Not a single one for the Titans. And the last but not least, come on down, Las Vegas Raiders.
I don't have a lot of expectations they'll be great in that division. That should be a Week 13 Thursday night Raider game, because at that point we should be getting the Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian.
We should be getting Fernando Mania, Mendoza. Wait, don't you find it a little odd, even if you know the team's not good, and they weren't good because they're picking number one, is it not a little odd to you to not get the number one overall pick who's a quarterback on a primetime game once?
It's funny, too, how certain quarterbacks will get this and other quarterbacks won't. Like, if I remember correctly, I don't remember the number being high, but I do remember Caleb Williams getting multiple national television games.
Yep.
The C.J. Stroud big bro moment was a nationally – I can't remember if it was a Monday night or a Thursday night, but I know that was a primetime game. That's why we all saw the on-field interaction afterwards of, hang in there, little bro, you're going to be all right. And Caleb Williams has been nothing but better than him since.
Burrow has. Had to have had one. He was coming off of a national championship.
Dude. Like, he was a big, like, so there's that's a unique trend, and I didn't know. Like, last year, I could have made the argument, well, it's a quarterback who came as a zero-star recruit, hasn't been that touted or well nationally known. Like, he's not a big headline grabber, and that's not fair to them, but I could see why you would make the argument internally as a TV network. Do we really need the Titans on national television? Their head coach was a dead man walking. Nobody really even cares about the team to begin with, and they're probably going to be bad, and there's not a big national following for it. The Raiders and Mendoza is shocking to me. Like, he's a national champion quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner. I know Cam Ward was as well, but he just, like, that's the Raiders,
and
dude.
It's the Raiders.
It's the Raiders.
Yeah.
And not to mention that it's just the Raiders. Like, when you think of potential opponents that you could be playing, like, last year, if you were going into the year, we didn't know how Jacksonville was going to be. Houston was good, but they're not a super sexy, competitive, you know, interesting matchup. And the Colts were a laughingstock because they were going to start Daniel Jones. So you wanted to tell me none of the divisional matchups for the Titans were good for a primetime game? All right, whatever. Like, for the Raiders right now, you pick and choose any team in the AFC West. They're going to play them all twice. And not one of those games, like your game hosting the Chiefs or on the road to Denver, one of the best rivalries in the NFL, or the Chargers, who were a playoff team last year. Like, how is not one of those on national TV? I agree completely that that's a little confusing for me.
I'm going through this, and I'm trying to find – God, the Google AI is just so all over the place.
Yeah, it's not going
to
give you
I'm trying to see if Burrow did have a nationally televised game in his rookie season, because I know he got hurt at, like, what, week 9?
He without a doubt did. I remember watching a Monday Night Football game, and they, I want to say, beat the Browns in Cleveland or were close. I remember there being a Monday Night game.
I have the schedule up right here. It is...
I think there was an early season game against Cleveland before he got hurt.
That was week 2 at Cleveland. 35-30. He had 316
yards in
that game.
And it was like, oh, damn, this guy's... All
right. Yeah, you're right. That's Thursday. There you go.
Yeah.
So,
oh, it's Thursday night game.
Thursday
okay.
night game. So yeah. I just... Yeah, it's not a big deal. The Raiders are not going to be great. I don't have a lot of huge high expectation for the Titans. I'm more just kind of curious of, like, Daboll, Ward, Saleh, kind of new run there, and then, like, the number one pick winning the national championship, not getting a primetime game. Could be
weird.
Flexed, but
weird.
A little odd from the start of it.
And to get flexed in later in the year, you have to be a good team. because the only flex that really makes a lot of sense for the NFL at this point is Sunday Night Football, and so you're going to have to get flex into a Sunday Night game, which means if you're going to get into that spot later in the year, you have to be a playoff contending team.
Well, is the counter to that all of what we're talking about, though, that they left him off knowing they'll flex once he becomes the starter? Because the intel is he will not start right away in Vegas. So if you're going to get Kirk Cousins, I can get why you don't want him on TV.
Sure, I get
Whereas
that.
Whereas if you know you have Mendoza coming post week 10, you say, let's wait till week whatever.
We're going to have the Charles Davis debate. How many games will he start this year? Like, yeah, dude, I'd feel safe throwing him in on a Thursday night on week 13. Like, is Kirk Cousins really going to be starting in week 13 for the Raiders? Sans injury to Mendoza.
He shouldn't be.
There's no chance. He's the number one pick in the draft. Like, yeah. He's going to play this year. It's lunacy. All right, there are a number of teams with five or more primetime games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Five or more. Now, have you seen a list of total games, who the leader in the clubhouse is?
Because
we can play a fun trivia game if you have not seen it. Do you know the team who has the most primetime games this year? Do you want to take a guess?
Is it Chicago?
It is not Chicago.
Is it the Rams?
It is the Los Angeles Rams. Okay. They stand alone above everybody else with seven.
Oh, yeah, here's the list. I got the Rams, and then you got teams with six
we're
and five.
We're supposed to be playing trivia here. Come on.
Okay.
God. All right, Swag, Riggins, you can chime in then. There are. So the Rams lead the clubhouse.
Rams
seven.
Lead.
Number one in the clubhouse.
The Seahawks.
There's four teams with six. Can you name the four?
Seahawks.
Seahawks are one of them.
Let's see. Who else? They got to be, everybody's jocking the Cowboys.
The Cowboys are not. They are in the category of five. The Cowboys have five.
I think he's right. The Bears, are the Bears getting more love?
The Bears also in the category of five.
The Chiefs?
The Kansas City Chiefs, correct. They have six. Two more.
It's two more.
One of them's pretty easy to guess.
Come on.
The other one, I don't know if I would have guessed it or not.
The Bills?
The Buffalo Bills. That is the third. There's one more team with six.
Niners?
It is not. The Niners are in the five category. You've guessed a good chunk of five
Ravens?
So far. No. Ravens don't have a lot at all this year.
This one's a pretty historic team.
The Packers.
The Green Bay Packers with their cheeseheads. Those are the teams with six nationally televised games. You got some of the five. So the Bears, the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Eagles, and the 49ers are your teams with five nationally televised games.
My brother-in-law has like one of his best friends that he worked with for a long time. I've told the story. His dad signed up for season tickets at Green Bay and for years just never got them. And then his dad passed away tragically. And they called him out of the blue and say, hey, your dad's on this list, but we heard, and do you want them?
Like his number came up in the rotation.
His number came up in the rotation for four tickets, for season tickets at Green Bay. And he was like, I got to do it. My dad tried. He couldn't get them. I got to do this. So he's had season tickets at Lambeau Field, and he mostly, I think, sells the tickets.
He probably, picks a couple of games he wants to go to.
He picks a couple of games, and him and his wife and friends. He calls he texts my brother and sister-in-law yesterday, and my sister-in-law knows nothing about football.
Okay.
Doesn't watch it, can't name players, does not care. And she goes, I might have to go to Wisconsin in December.
What?
And I'm like, for what? And she goes, the Dolphins are at the Packers? And I go, you have to go to that game.
You have to go.
And she goes, we probably will. And they're really good seats, by the way. And she goes, ugh. And I'm like, your first football game of your life in
it's
person.
It's going to be like a Monday night game against, the Dolphins don't have a national television.
It's going to be at.
She's not a sports fan at all.
No. Is what people consider the mecca of the sport. The hallowed grounds of Lambeau Field is going to be your first game.
So this is your brother or your sister?
This is my wife's sister.
Okay.
Her wife is good friend. They invited them both to come out to
Wisconsin to the game.
Gotcha.
To go to the Dolphin Packer game.
Dude.
And that's going to be her. And I'm like, do you have any idea how many sports fans would hate you for this?
God.
Your first game.
She needs
be a
to let her husband take a friend, somebody that appreciates it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're taking the wife.
She doesn't even want to go.
Not if she has no clue and won't appreciate it and is going to be complaining the whole time.
He's bringing his wife. You have to bring your wife.
Nah,
they're friends.
Make it a buddy trip. Make it a guy's trip.
She needs to recognize if she's going to be miserable, she doesn't get it. She doesn't appreciate it.
It's going to be cold in December.
He's going to want to go tailgate or do whatever
she's
out there.
She's down for that. She's down for all of the experience.
I don't know.
Hold on.
The way it was spun originally was, I have to go to Wisconsin
I have to go to
December.
Wisconsin in December.
Like you're getting dragged there against your will.
Well, there's a little bit of that, but once
your
approach,
you're out of here.
This is horse crap. You would take your wife if this happened to you.
Well, my wife's into sports. She likes watching sports.
Yeah.
Oh, you would take your wife?
I would certainly say, hey, this is up. This is what's going on.
Would you like to go, this is what the day is going to look like.
This is it's how gonna we're going to do it. Balls. This is up to you. You tell me, because this is yours. Day. It'd be
She's
fun.
She's in on it. Yeah. But she just doesn't care about football. If you're
then is she really in? Is she really in on it?
Yes.
Just the party scene?
When
she's
they get
party.
There, she'll be all in on anything they're doing. She's not going to be like, no. She's going to be like, we're going tailgating. Okay.
Yeah.
She's going to be freezing.
As long as you're a willing participant, then I'll allow it. But if I got to drag you around kicking and screaming, you're
yeah,
off.
You made
you're
it sound like yeah. she was.
She doesn't go to football games. I made it sound exactly what it is. She'll go. She's down. I'm trying to tell you that part.
I'm getting mixed messages here. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. With you, Swigard. I'm with you.
So you took
Cross
it as like she was going to argue with him about this?
Yeah, like why are we going to Wisconsin
well,
in December?
Yeah, she was like, December, it's going to be cold and snowy. And I go, but you got to go to that game. It's Lambeau, which didn't mean anything to her.
Exactly. And that's why I'm like, she should recognize it's wasted on her.
Where's that? Is that one on your guys' bucket list?
Yes.
I think
for all
so.
Of sports or just the NFL?
All of sports.
What's your five? What's your five bucket
I
list?
I hate the Packers. It's on my list.
Top five all sports?
Has to be.
Yeah.
Okay. It's definitely on
you
mine.
You would go out there wearing the red and gold, right?
What's
if
your
the Niners?
Stadiums?
Hell yeah, yes. Dude. I would proudly rock it there. And if we win or lose, I'm going to be devastated or happy.
Yeah.
That experience has got to be one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's kind of an NFL nomad, which I still root for the Niners. I obviously pull for Herbert, and I want the Chargers to do well. But it's not like I don't live and die with results of games. I've always thought it would be fun to go on trips and blend in, like have like if you went
you
to a Packer
be Rob
game,
Lowe.
Like yeah, well, not an NFL fan. Like, no, I'm not an NFL guy. Like, if I'm at Lambeau Field,
oh, you want to be a Packer,
and like
fan.
If you're playing the Bears,
gotcha.
Like, just I want to like give me a cheesehead, you know? Let me like, let me get into
put
it.
Put on
dude.
A Bart Starr
yeah,
jersey,
like, grind the cheese.
I was,
on
and
the
I'm
shredder.
Like, wait, that's the wrong way. If I'm in Chicago, I'll do that when they're playing. Like, I think that'd be fun to kind of blend dude. In for a day. You walk around yelling, "Go Pack, go!"
If
like you've always been a Packer fan.
If I didn't go to a Niner related NFL game, like say I went to Chicago for a Packer Bear game. I have bear paws on.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm,
let's get
I'm
into
in
it,
on
dude.
That experience.
I'll be a furry for you for the day.
You yeah. go to a Viking game, wear the
dude.
Helmet,
yes.
doing skull.
I'm skull clapping so hard. Like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from St. Paul. Where
I'm
are you from?
I'm from Sheboygan. I'm a big Vikings fan from Sheboygan.
How's the ice fishing for you? Like, I'm all in.
Right? Wouldn't that be fun?
If my team's blend involved, in. I got to wear the
You realize no, Sheboygan's in Wisconsin?
I'm sure there's Sheboygan fans for the Vikings, all right? Just get your facts out of this. Sheboygan was a fun city name.
Waymoo,
okay?
Sheboygan, we're
Who
on a roll
gives
today.
A rat's
Raheem
ass.
Mostert, Devon Achane, you name it this week, we've nailed it.
Somebody over saying she's a WOT, wasted ticket. Uh-oh, she's a wasted ticket. Don't do it. This is my nightmare.
She needs to recognize that.
I mean, I tried to convey the message of what Lambeau is, the hallowed ground.
Yeah.
If the wife of him, the friend, is going, the wife has to go, guys.
I see your
this
argument
cannot
there.
Be a three guys.
I understand
I see your
that.
Argument there. Is the guy's wife super into football? Like, she's down to make these trips?
I think she's a little more, yeah, she's been doing it for years,
sure.
I think. I don't know him as well. I think she's a little more into the NFL football thing than my sister-in-law certainly is. My brother-in-law barely even cares about the NFL. He's like a... He's kind of a Dolphin fan, but, like, he doesn't watch the NFL.
Such a random
He's
fan
a big Blazer fan.
Yeah, diehard Blazers.
He liked Marino.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That
and the
sense.
Colors are kind of cool.
The colors are cool. The uniforms are cool. I got to beef with that.
So I would go Wrigley.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Give me your bucket list.
This is no order.
No order. Give me the five.
Wrigley, Fenway.
Okay.
MSG.
Yeah.
Lambeau Field. And then the fifth one for me, and I can't really put why would probably be the swamp in Florida for a Gator game. Since the mid-90s, I've wanted to go to the swamp.
Of all the college football ones, that's the biggest one on your bucket list?
Yeah, I can't give you a reason.
Do a Gator chomp.
Yeah.
Sing Don't Back Down at the end
it
of the third quarter.
It looks like a great environment if they're rolling.
I'm with you.
Seems like a great environment.
Swag, you got a bucket list top five? Is Lambeau in it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say Lambeau and Wrigley are up there. I've been to Fenway. That was amazing.
Where'd you sit, on the monster? Or
no, we were sitting out in the triangle.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was just some random thing back in my life before I got to the radio station. So.
I hear a lot of the fats complain about the seats out there because they were built in 1904.
Yeah.
You mean when we didn't eat processed food and do nothing
we
on
were
our
a lot
lives?
But it was great. You can't fit in there.
I went on a night. Pedro pitched.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was awesome. And so, like, all these Dominicans fans were out and conga lines going out in the bleachers out there. I didn't. Had it been in our section, probably would have.
The white guy jumping in.
I love a good, who doesn't love a good conga line, huh? I love a good conga line.
Oh, yeah. Atmosphere was great. It's this glorious dump because underneath in the, you know, it's just a dump.
Somebody told me where it used, because it had to be rebuilt because the original Fenway got on fire. There's a spot where the original Fenway is, and it's either a school, a park, or a business, but like where the pitching mound and home plate is, they have a statue.
That's cool.
To show you, this is literally where,
this is where it
the
was.
Original stood this and where it all looked. Was. Yeah.
What's on your bucket list? Let us know. 503-864-6326. Lambeau definitely up there for me. A couple more quick thoughts on the NFL schedule, and then dive into the NBA playoffs. Back after this, 105.1 FM The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We got to get to the NBA playoffs at some point. We got a couple of elimination games tonight in the association on the old Prime, Amazon Prime. And we'll get to those at some point in the final hour. Give you an update on the PGA Championship. So lots still to get to. We're just getting underway here on a Friday. Happy Friday morning to everybody out there. We were talking bucket list stadiums in the last segment, which is, to me, is always a fun conversation because you brought up Lambeau. We're talking about the Packers and the number of national TV games they have next year. Lambeau is, I don't know if it's number one, but it's in the running for number one for me. Now, I need right conditions. Like, I need a primetime game would be glorious. Like, a Monday night game or a Sunday night game, I think, adds to it.
But you got
to
go in the cold and the snow.
I want it in December or January.
You like, want frozen tundra.
I want frozen tundra. I don't want 90 degrees in August. I want to feel the frozen tundra to say I've been to the frozen tundra. And so that's why when the idea of coming up into a game in December, Dolphins not the most attractive opponent of, like, a game you could see at Lambeau, because I don't think they're going to be very good this year. But still, the full tundra experience might be number one on my big board.
Well, who did the Packers lose to last year at home, and we were killing them for it? It was a really bad loss.
Oh, God. No, it wasn't Carolina. Who got
them? I think they lost to Carolina.
Somebody got them at home, and I remember being shocked.
What?
Like, how is that possible?
Let me go back and look at this.
Might have been a team with a backup quarterback or something.
It was – maybe it was Carolina that I'm thinking of, but I know where they had a really bad home
loss. They lost to Cleveland 13-10, but that was in Cleveland.
The game you're thinking of, they lost to Carolina,
and
that was before we knew, like,
Carolina
was good.
They fell into the playoffs.
Right.
They didn't really earn
it. They lost at home 16-13 to Carolina.
That's what it was.
And they were 5-1 or 5-1-1 at that time. Green Bay was.
So my brother-in-law has already been to a game at Lambeau with this guy. And you know what game it was? His first Lambeau experience.
First time popping your Lambeau cherry?
It was the wild card Seahawk-Packer game a few years back.
With the snow?
He literally got the full Lambeau Green Bay playoff
Seattle
experience.
If I remember, they came up just short. I think it was a great comeback. That was at the end of the Russ era.
It was the end of the Russ. It was the second to last Russ season.
Yeah.
And it was snowing like crazy. And it ended up being a pretty good game. And it was a primetime game, night game.
God.
That was his first Lambeau experience.
That's near the top of the list for me. We had some people texting in Bell Center Saturday night from Montreal. Yeah, that would be up there.
So is that like, so I didn't put hockey in because I'm not as familiar with the
hockey. Well, and I was saying that I don't think any of the old barns are still around. I think everybody's got a relatively newer arena in the National Hockey League.
The oldest one, I would imagine, maybe I'm wrong on this, in the NHL, I'd imagine, is Madison Square Garden for the Rangers. I would assume that's the oldest one.
But how old is the Bell Center you're mentioning here with the Habs?
Oh, Bell Center's, I mean, it's not brand new.
Maybe 10 to 15 years old.
Okay. But hockey atmosphere.
Longer than that. It opened in 1996.
That's a long time.
I think it's gotten some pretty major facelifts, though, if I'm not wrong. I think they've done some serious work to it.
But, like, Maple Leaf Gardens isn't around. The old Boston Garden is around. Chicago Stadium or whatever, the old Chicago Stadium.
Yeah, United Center would be a pretty cool one for me, too, because I watched so much Jordan in my life.
Would you want to do a Bulls game or a Blackhawks game? Probably Bulls for you.
Bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather have the bowl experience because of the Jordan.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden, oldest active, 1968 opening.
When was the last major renovation, though?
Yeah, I mean,
at MSG?
I mean, they've done a number
of
times.
They've done a few of them.
Yeah.
They've done a pretty good
job
renovating it.
They've done two or three.
Scotiabank in Calgary, 1983.
That's a good one.
And then
the old Saddle Dome they built for the Olympics.
The old Saddle Dome. You got the Delta
Center.
They're
getting
in
a new arena.
Oh, are they in Calgary?
Yeah.
I have no interest in the Delta Center.
Neither do I. They're actually renovating it right now. Honda Center and then the SAP, the SAP Center. I don't know what they call it. 1993 for San Jose.
I think the one that Swag pointed out during the break I thought about it, but it didn't make my top five, but it's like just on the outside. There's some college basketball venues that would be in this. I want to go to Fog Allen at Kansas.
Yeah, is that high up there for you?
Cameron and Chapel Hill, like, those are... I've already been to Poly. I've seen the USCLA stuff, so that was already a really cool experience.
My brother's been to Cameron. He said it was awesome.
I mean, obviously. Yeah. It would absolutely be great. I would love to go to those three venues. That'd be pretty high up on my list.
Some of the ones that came in, somebody said, yeah, I went to Fenway back in 2017. It's a dump inside, but met big Bo Sox fan Stephen King in the concourse. So that's
there you go. Yeah.
I mean, I think just if you go to a stadium like that, you have to acknowledge like you want the experience without the bells and whistles. Like, you know what you're getting into. It's not, if you want a new corporate, I mean, go to Yankee Stadium, right, where they've priced out their fans and it's a new corporate experience. But if, like, that's
Yankee Stadium would have been in it if they didn't tear it down.
Old Yankee Stadium.
But you get
sure.
out once you get out into the seats and you see the Green Monster and everything, it's pretty cool.
Somebody said, I'm a Packers fan. My brother's an Eagles fan. We went to Sunday Night Football in Philly in my Green Bay jersey. Never been told to F you more walking around that stadium. Experience that I will never forget. What else was there? Ole Miss popped up a couple of times to go to the
Oxford
Grove.
For the Grove, yeah.
That's a big one. Beaver fan chiming in. Biggest mistake Oregon ever made was retiring the Pit. Never should have done that. As an Oregon State fan, it was the coolest stadium experience for a basketball game you could ever have.
Yep.
Sucks they went to a boring-ass street library.
That one they should have tried to do
street library.
They should have tried to renovate the old Mac court.
Big mistake.
They wanted concerts and other events, which, you know, yay. The irony of it is Mac court's still standing. You can go back and play games there if you want.
They still do high school tournaments.
Do a facelift on it. You can still do it. They never tore the building down.
Come on,
they're right there on campus.
Do that.
Come on. Bruce Springsteen, when you come to town, you can go play a Matthew Knight.
Not
Ducks,
gonna do that.
Back to the Pit, baby. Yeah. Couple other quick scheduling notes. Get to some NBA stuff. Is it weird that when I don't do the Mike Francesa, like, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win. I don't do that in my head. But I do the first thing that I do, because I don't have time to watch all of the release videos, is I open up ESPN and I go week by week and I say, ooh, standalone games. Do I like that slate or do I not like that slate? Is this a good slate or a bad slate? Now, the opening week we already knew.
This is just a worse, different rendition of the, it's a win,
it's not a
loss.
I'm not doing win-losses. I'm saying entertaining or not entertaining.
Okay.
Well, we should throw week one out because we're all jonesing for it.
Well, we already knew week one anyway.
It up, like,
all
no
that had already
what.
Been released. Week two, we already knew Lions and Bills. That's your Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Colts and Chiefs, the first or second Sunday night football of the year.
Yep.
And then Giants and Rams, the second. I immediately looked at that and thought, who's playing quarterback for the Colts? Who's playing quarterback for the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Jones cannot be ready for week one, right?
I would imagine not, but I don't know.
That was what, week 10?
And the 11? Giants, like, I get putting eggs in the Giants' basket. I also acknowledge that's we're rolling the dice here. That's a 4-win team from last year.
I know.
With a coach who thinks didn't end well in his last spot and a quarterback who's got to stay healthy and could get a concussion in training camp. And
I mean, you look at the week two slate overall, and there's maybe... Initially, just on first glance, there's maybe three games I'm like, okay, I need to see what's going on here.
The biggest thing why I like looking at the standalone games is that I'm a red zone viewer on Sunday, and so it's just you're going to see everything throughout the course. Like, I don't care if there's bad games at the 1 o'clock slate on a Sunday because it's not going to be on my TV the entire time. Mm. The only time that I will ever, not ever, I shouldn't say that, because there's random times when the late in the season where the 1 p.m. Slate sucks and there's like a Chiefs-Bills game at 1:25 and you're like, all right, I'm going to watch that standalone. But for the most part, I'm red zone. So those are the only games of the year that I watch entirely from start to finish, usually, is Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. And so it impacts my fandom or my enjoyment level when I'm like, Colts and Chiefs? Like, if Daniel Jones and Mahomes are playing, sure, I could see that being an interesting game. Who's the Colts backup? Is it Sam Ellinger? Is he still there?
It's him or AR, if he's still on the team.
Doesn't he want to get traded? Isn't he trying to get traded?
Who's trading?
I mean, nobody's going to trade for him.
Why would you trade for him? I wouldn't give you a seventh-round pick for that.
You just have to cut him. Who has more value, Brandon Ayuk or Anthony Richardson?
Ayuk. Because if Ayuk gets his head out of his ass, he can be a good football player.
Okay. Will he ever do that?
Riley Leonard.
Riley Leonard.
It's Riley Leonard.
Riley Leonard started a couple of games last year.
So it would probably be Riley Leonard versus...
Justin Fields.
Yeah, I highlighted that. The Chiefs got a lot of primetime games. They think Mahomes is going to be ready for week one.
Good luck with that.
The ACL injuries can be a little quicker now, but, man, in the off chance it's not, and it's Fields and Riley Leonard.
Yeah. I'll stop with the next week. I won't go week by week, but the next week is the opposite, where you get Falcons and Packers on Thursday night. And
Week four might be the worst.
I got to see Falcons first. Your Sunday night game, though, a Monday night game, are Rams-Broncos, delightful, and Eagles and Bears, delightful.
You don't know if week four is the worst.
Yeah, we do. It might be.
Pittsburgh at Cleveland is your Thursday night game.
That game's going to suck. There's no way that game doesn't suck.
Okay. Lions Panthers is the Sunday night game.
Panthers Lions shouldn't be on primetime. Lions at Panthers.
Falcons at Saints is the Monday night
game. One of those teams, by the way, was a playoff team, and it wasn't the Lions.
Get out of here. I understand that.
Get out of here. Finish above 500.
Which is why I said week four might be the worst.
This is no different than comping schedules. What's easy? What's hard?
None I'm right there
know.
With you, Swigart. I'm right there with you. I'm boycotting week four.
You're going to get all pissed off by week four.
The best standalone game that week might be the Colts at Commies in the first London game at 6:30 in the morning.
I grant you Broncos at 49ers that Sunday. How is that not a primetime game? Should be. Chargers Seahawks is better than any of those primetime games.
Why did you put Commies and who?
Rams Colts. At Eagles that week?
You're putting
Packers
that over
at Buccaneers
no,
that
you
week?
Said best standalone game.
No, I'm just saying I'm looking at the rest of the slate. Sorry for that Sunday. Yeah. That's what else is on the slate. It's actually a really good Sunday.
The game you just named isn't even in my top three of the games he just named.
Oh, I was just talking about the standalone primetime game.
Are Panthers fans even excited to watch the Panthers next year?
Yes. They just made the playoffs.
I mean, did they though?
I mean they did.
Did they though?
They won the division by losing and having the Falcons lose. It's one of the worst.
Were they 8-9-1 last year? Is that where they were?
And remember the Falcons had to lose. For them to win it.
Yeah, that could be a great red zone
day. They won the division because another team lost that they weren't playing.
We're already planning your honey to-do list. If you want to do things on Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night.
You guys are so dumb.
In the end of the early month of October, right out of the gate in October, that's your day. That's your weekend
Can't wait for Swag to tell me one new team's going to make the playoffs this year.
Sunday dinner plans, Monday plans.
Unbelievable.
Week four is your week to do it. There's your NFL schedule to talk. That's a win. That's a loss. We got a couple of games in the NBA playoff tonight. We'll dive into that and an update from the PGA Championship Day 2 at Adirondack. Back after this, 105.1 FM The Fam. All right, final thoughts on the NFL schedule, and I promise we'll move on. Being pointed out, a good reminder, I forgot about this. The reason that Week 4 Falcons and Saints game is Monday night is because it's the 20-year anniversary of the return after Hurricane Katrina, the Steve Gleason block punt. Mm. Pretty famous. I mean, I'll never forget watching that game.
There's a statue for it.
Yeah, it's huge, right? And what's happened in his life. There's also a rumor on the street, I don't know how true this is, that the Falcons asked to not be in that game. Mm. That the NFL knew they were going to do that to honor the 20-year anniversary of it. And the Falcons were the opponent that night, and they lost. And for whatever, I don't know why you would cower away and not want that. But there was a rumor from an NFL beat writer that they begged the NFL to not put him in that game. And the NFL said, yeah, we don't care. You're playing in the game.
Yeah, I'll see if I can text two NFL GMs, see what they think about that.
Get the word from see the word from the NFL GMs.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to be.
I don't get why would you not want to be a part of that.
Who cares?
It was 20 years ago.
It was also a pretty monumental moment in sports. And sometimes, you're on the losing end of it, but you got to kind of recognize that.
Drew Brees was the quarterback then. He's not coming through that locker room. You should win the game.
Look, that obviously is an emotional pull there, right? But this is kind of my point. Week four sucks. What if the Saints are good this year?
Nah, no chance.
What if Stefanski gets it going in Atlanta?
It brings up, so one of the listeners said,
crazy.
Am I going to walk back my Cowboy take because their schedule is brutal? And we don't know if their schedule's brutal or not. In theory, it is. It looks like I already knew that they were going to have a challenging schedule because of the crossover
division
games.
Is their schedule brutal? Is Washington going to be good? Are the Giants really going to take
their first two games of the year? Are the Giants on the road in Sunday Night Football? Are the Giants good this year?
I don't know.
The Commies in week two.
Maybe.
They very easily could be 2-0. Then you get the Ravens at home, who didn't go to the playoffs last year.
The Eagles,
the Texans
could be
on the road. You got the Cardinals in there, the Colts, the Titans. Are the Jags good again? So you have no idea. That's the beauty of the NFL. To your point from the last segment, I still like scrolling through and being like, ooh, that's a good week, that's a bad week, and then trying to remember which weeks I thought would be good or bad.
I still have the least hardest and hardest
Saved
NFL
on,
schedules
yep.
on my
Hold them.
Show sheet from what you told me yesterday.
So there you go. That's enough NFL schedule talk. Still fun. The NFL does it better than anybody. They know how to leak all this stuff. Ooh, actually, I lied. One more point. The Rams, I forgot to mention this. They have 7 primetime games, as I alluded to, most in the NFL. Uh-huh. That ties the NFL record. The only other teams that have had 7 primetime games in a season were the 2023 Bills and the 2025 Kansas City Chiefs. It's only the third time in NFL history that's happened.
I can't blame them.
I got no issue with it.
It's the Rams. It's L.A. It's McVay. Yeah. It's Stafford. I get it. They're all in on winning the title this year.
It also helps when you play, again, to the point in a division where there's two matchups that are sexy for primetime games.
Yeah, like of the 7, Niners, how many are against Seahawks? Niners, Seahawks? Are they all 4?
It's a good question.
Primetime game, so you have three standalone outside of your division primetimes, or is it one Seahawk, one Niner, and then five?
Well, I know the first one of the year is the Niners, so, and that is one. A primetime game. Let me pull up
the Seahawks-Rams games should both be primetime games.
Yes, I believe they both are.
So four of their seven.
So here are your primetime games, regular season. Nope, sorry, click Seahawks. Sorry, hold on. Googling. Give me a second. Rams, that's who I'm looking for. Their schedule. So Niners in week one, primetime. They get the Giants week two in Monday Night Football, so back-to-back primetimes out of the gate. We go to their first three games of the year. At Denver in week three,
yeah,
Sunday Night Football.
That's a good one.
Bills at home week five, Monday Night Football.
Okay.
Home against Green Bay.
That's
the Christmas Eve. No, the Thanksgiving Eve game.
Yeah, so they're not going to be all divisional Niner Seahawk games. Okay.
Thursday night game against the Chiefs, and then
Christmas night
they
host
the Rams.
Seahawks.
Yeah, okay. They're at the Seahawks.
Okay,
and then we don't know the last 2 weeks of the season, so they might end up with more because we don't have.
So the Rams and Seahawks play two of the last 3 weeks of the season.
Yes, they play Week 16 and Week 18.
Isn't that what they did last year?
Maybe no. I felt like the first one was earlier in the year.
At the end of the.
The Niners-Seahawks is the last game of the regular season.
That was the last game of the regular season, but I thought the Rams-Seahawks games were a couple weeks apart.
Let me look it up.
Because you had the weird two-point. I know, the first one
I thought was early in the year.
It was, you're right, because it was an ugly
they beat them in
offensive game.
No, I mean, you're not that wrong. Week 11. So November 16th, and then they played them again on December 18th. So twice in
4 weeks,
a little over a month.
Yeah.
So not that separated. We'll start the final hour. We don't have a lot of time here, so we'll get to the NBA playoffs coming up top of the hour.
Yeah.
Do we get series extended? Where do we go from here?
Which game do you think has the better chance of going to Game 7? Which series?
Ooh.
We can get to that.
Yeah, hold that. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. Quick update on the PGA Championship. It's been fun for me to watch because there's a lot of carnage and guys are struggling. Alex Smalley is current year leader. Had you ever heard of Alex Smalley prior to yesterday?
I think outside of the golf bubble, nobody had. He has zero PGA Tour wins.
No, it's not a well-known name. So. He's 4-under. He's 1-under through 8 today. He is your current leader. You got a group of guys at 3-under, most of whom nobody's ever really heard of before. Minwoo Lee is a decent-sized name for some internationally. He plays in President's Cups and that stuff. He's been around for a while. He's at 3-under. Not a bad bunch of 2-under. Xander is about to tee off at 2-under. Patty Reed winning another major would be really funny. Thigala's at 2-under. So it's not terrible there. And then you got Scotty and some others like Joaquin Niemann, Højgaard, who's been in the mix a bunch lately, Cam Smith, Jason Day, Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, Jordan Spieth. So it's a good host of guys who are 1-under par. And they're still right in the mix because nobody's going to run away with this thing. I think the conditions are going to get tougher as the event goes on. Right now, the cut line.
Bryce Fisher, plus 9.
Yeah. He hasn't teed off yet, right? Is he playing?
Yeah, he's in the afternoon.
He's playing later today.
Plus two right now. It might get to plus 3 if this wind doesn't back off.
I would be pretty shocked based on what we've seen so far if this doesn't get to plus 3.
Do you know who's dead last?
Who is dead last in the tournament? Is it a known name or is it like a PGA Tour pro? Has to be a pro.
I don't know if it is a pro. Mark Geddes? Geddes?
Has to be. What did he shoot?
Plus 20.
Oh, no.
We have Jesse Dromer, plus 17.
He's a club pro.
Max Homa is plus 10. He's below our guy, Bryce Fisher.
Max Homa's 10 over par?
He's 10 over
what
par.
What the hell happened, Max? He wasn't that out of it yesterday when I was watching. Oh, he's had a rough day today.
Yeah, he's like five over today.
Yeesh. I mean, the course is doing it. Like, that's why, like, I'm not too fearful of some of these guys. You never want a no-name guy to win a major championship because that's not entertaining. You know, the golf sickos can get into it a little bit, but you're not captivating anybody outside your bubble. If your final group is, you know, Daniel Brown and Steven Yeager, like, you know, there's only so much you're going to catch attention-wise on Sunday afternoon. But because of how difficult it is, I have a hard time seeing all these guys hang on. A lot of the guys at 3-under, by the way, haven't even teed off yet.
Yeah.
There's still a bunch of them who are going off later this afternoon.
Yeah, Hideki can get in and post 3 or 4 under today.
Hideki's having a hell of a round today. So one of these guys, I think the creams is eventually going to rise to the top. Who is the worst-case scenario winning?
The leaderboard right now is a worst case scenario.
Alex Smalley, is he number one on the list?
Rattle him off.
Is that worse than
eater?
Patrick Reed?
Yes, significantly worse. Because Reed,
nobody knows who Alex Smalley is. You leaning in and going, Smalley, your boy. Why is that my boy?
It's
I didn't know who he was 20 minutes ago.
That's your guy, dude. That's your guy right there.
Pot Geiter.
Pot Geiter.
Jaeger. Smalley, this is a nightmare scenario setting up for the weekend. And I'm going to tell you, if this is going to be the leaderboard at the end of today.
I don't think it will be. Mark my words right
nobody
now.
Nobody going into the weekend will care and be excited about this final round.
Here's what I will say. Mark my words. Save this for Monday. It will not look like this. And it also won't look like this going, like, even if it looks like this at the end of the day, the point remains, like, all of the guys who are one under, you're two shots off the lead. Like, that's one whole swing.
I totally get
it. You
make
two birdies and you're tied for, like, that's all you got to do to jump into the mix. If one of these guys right now, like, who was our miniature, Brian Harman, when he won the Open Championship with his waggles, the old baby? Like, that sucked, dude.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Because he was also, he wasn't exciting. He was bad to watch. He wasn't a huge name. And he was up by seven shots the entire, like, it would have taken a meteor landing in the middle of the course for him to blow that lead. That's not, like, dude, these guys, Smalley's going to have a double bogey before the day's over. Mark my words. It'll get him.
You know what you sound like? You sound like a guy who might get a Pistons-Thunder NBA Finals. And you're like, this is why it's actually not that bad.
This is not going to happen,
dude. Remember Spurs-Pistons was way worse in 05.
It's not going to happen, all right?
What?
Mark my words, these guys will fall off. Cream will rise to the top. Still fun to have it all compacted. A lot of guys still in the mix halfway through Friday of the PGA Championship. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. We're starting the NBA playoffs. Get you set for your entire sports weekend. Which series has a better chance of extending and are we excited for the doubleheader tonight? Loaded final hour starting the NBA next, 105.1 FM The Fam.